You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Friday, November 20th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season is different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. The Jets play the Chargers this Sunday in Los Angeles. This comes after the team's bye week. I've said this earlier in the week, but in theory, I think the bye week actually came at a pretty good point for the Jets, because two things that are difficult to navigate on the NFL schedule are the week after you play a Monday night game and a cross-country trip. The week after you play the Monday night game, you have one less day to prepare for your next game. And a cross-country flight's just a long trip. And the Jets were able to avoid both of those things because they right before their bye, they had the Monday night game against New England, but they were able to rest the week after that game. And they were able to get a little bit of extra time to get ready for this cross-country flight in this game against the Chargers. And just kind of the way things fell, because originally this was supposed to be the Jets' bye week. Originally, last week they were supposed to play Miami. This was supposed to be their bye week, and next week was supposed to be a rematch against Miami, which was a really interesting quirk on the schedule. But because of games, the league had to move around, the schedule changed. And I think you could argue it was to the Jets' benefit. Now, at 0-9, I'm not sure how much of a difference it really makes, but we still do have a game this weekend. Joe Flacco will get his fourth start of the season for the Jets, and they will play the Chargers. A Chargers team that has not been that good themselves this year, although it's been a better year for the Chargers than it has been for the Jets. And on today's show, I'm going to preview this game. And this preview is going to be a little different than some of the other previews I've done, because for the Jets, there are only seven games left in the season, and they're not particularly meaningful when you're talking about wins or losses. Now, they're meaningful as far as wins and losses go when you're thinking about draft position, but obviously the Jets are out of the playoff race and really thinking about the future. And I'm kind of interested to see how the Jets are going to have used the bye week, how they are going to adjust things going forward. So this preview is a little bit different, because the things I'm looking for are not just about, they're partially about whether the Jets win the game, but they're also about how the Jets have adjusted things after their bye week. And as usual, I'll have one key player, one key matchup, and one key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Now, on offense, my key player is LaMichael Perine, and the reason he's my key player is that I'm hoping the Jets increase his workload going forward. And I gotta be honest with you, I've not been that impressed by what I've seen from Perine. In fact, I was not that impressed with him when the Jets drafted him. That was a pick that left me less than thrilled. But I don't know what the Jets gain by continuing to run this offense through Frank Gore. I think one of the things that's made this Jets team difficult to watch is that with Sam Darnold out, you have a quarterback who you know has no future with the team. And since Le'Veon Bell has been released, and even when Bell was injured early in the season, your go-to guy on offense has been a guy who's probably in his last year in the NFL in Frank Gore. And I feel bad for talking about Frank Gore this way, because he's a guy, I respect him as much as any player in the NFL. When he was with other teams, I had so much respect for him. I still have a lot of respect for him. It's kind of amazing that the guy can go out there at 37 years old and still play and have any sort of success in this league. But he's well past the point where he could be anything more than a role player. And in all honesty, I'm not sure how good P. Ryan's going to be. I mean, my gut tells me that his ceiling is probably as part of a running back tandem. I don't think he's ever going to be a go-to running back. I don't think he's ever going to be a true three-down back, but he brings certain skills to the table, and I'm hoping that the Jets really start to increase his workload down the stretch just to get him some experience, get him more touches in the NFL, get him more comfortable with pass protection concepts, and there could be some opportunities in this game. He does have good hands as a receiver out of the backfield, and the Chargers have been kind of middle of the pack, maybe a little bit below average at defending running backs in the passing game this year, so there could be some opportunities there. And the Jets don't have a lot of playmakers on this offense. I'm not expecting P. Ryan to be a big-time playmaker, but you know, he's a guy I'd like to see the Jets get involved a little bit more in the offense. And I'm not, you know, I'm not one of these people who is pounding the table, who's been angry with the Jets for not using P. Ryan more, because again, I haven't seen a lot that excites me about his game. But I think we're to the point in the season where the focus should be shifting towards 2021 and beyond. It's difficult because you have a coaching staff that likely knows that it's in big trouble and is probably gone either way, but if they're going to keep their jobs, they have to start winning games. But I think for the future of this team, I'd like to see Piron get more involved in the offense. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, my key player is Ashton Davis, who played well, I thought, against New England the last time we saw the Jets, that Monday night game 2 weeks ago. He had not played well prior to that point. There, I mean, I go back to the Raheem Mostert 80-yard run against the 49ers, the first play of that game. And Davis had some responsibility for that because he took a really bad angle on that play and helped turn that into a touchdown. And you know, he did not play that well against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. But there were some signs of growth against the Patriots. There were some positive signs against New England. And for a young player, especially a third-round rookie, third-rounders, you don't get a lot out of them the rookie year, typically. Really, what I look for are games like you saw against New England. Games where you saw what things could look like if he puts it all together. And I think that was encouraging, and that's something that I will take with me to the offseason, even if Davis doesn't play well again. But I think it would be a good thing. I guess it goes without saying. It would be a good thing if Davis had another good game and was able to put back-to-back solid efforts together. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how the Jets use him, because the Jets are going to be putting some new corners on the field. In fact, they may have lost all three of their starting corners within the span of a couple days. You have Brian Poole, who is now out for the season, getting shoulder surgery. You have Bless Austin, who's going for an MRI with a neck injury. And you have Pierre Desir, who has been cut, which I guess you can't really say that's a big loss because the Jets cut him and because he's been terrible. But you're going to have a lot of new corners. And Adam Gase suggested that you may see some safeties used at corner from time to time. That could be Davis, because Davis has some experience playing at corner. And yeah, you want to strike the balance here, because you don't want to put too much onto the plate of a rookie. You really don't. You want to keep things as simple as possible for a rookie. But on the other hand, I mean, the Jets need somebody to be able to play corner, and they've suffered a lot of injuries at the position. They're going to have to put some new guys in there. And there also could be an element of just letting a rookie get experience, let him go out there and make mistakes in what's kind of a low-pressure situation, because if Jets lose this game, it's just another loss. It's not going to cost them a chance at making the playoffs, and giving him a chance to expand what he can do. So Davis, I think, is an interesting player to watch in this game. This football season is different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether you have two TVs to watch two games at a time like me, or you just have one TV, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday. We're previewing the Week 11 game between the New York Jets and the Los Angeles Chargers. The Jets at 0-9, looking for their first win of the season. And this might be as good of a chance as they're going to have, because they're playing a Chargers team that's not that great, and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. In this segment, we're going to talk about key matchups. And on offense, the key matchup for me is Joey Bosa versus George Fant. And there may be some Mekhi Becton in there. There may be some interior linemen who will line up against Joey Bosa. I think it's probably going to be mostly Fant, but you could pretty much throw in any Jets offensive lineman who lines up against Bosa. And first of all, I can now breathe a sigh of relief because I was worried prior to recording this that I would call him Nick Bosa. I'm glad that I was able to get that correct. It's Joey Bosa who plays with the Chargers. And you know, look, he's a guy who clearly can wreck the game for the Jets. But beyond that, you know, looking big picture, the Jets are going to have to make some decisions this offseason, and I think George Fant is one of them. He signed a multi-year contract, but it's a multi-year contract the Jets can get out of after 1 year. And his play, I think, has been up and down. I thought he played reasonably well against New England. I just don't know that he's a guy you want to go forward with as a starter. So, you know, if he goes out there and plays well and, you know, has a big game against Joey Bosa, it's a data point. It's another data point that suggests, you know, maybe this guy can put it together. Maybe this guy can be a long-term starter for this Jets team. If he goes out there and Joey Bosa has a big game, then, you know, obviously it's a data point in the opposite direction. And the Jets are going to need to give Fant help. I mean, I think Bosa is the kind of guy you don't want to destroy the game. He's the kind of guy you want to have your tight end chip him on the way out. You maybe want to leave an extra guy in to help him. You know, you don't want Fant to be on an island the entire game against a pass rusher like Bosa. But I think that's an important matchup, and especially because you have Flacco starting, you know that there's no mobility there. Flacco's not going to be able to improvise. He's not going to be able to create on his own. He's really going to need a solid pocket in front of him. So that becomes keeping Bosa in check becomes one of the most important things for this game for the Jets. And we'll see how well Fant can do. I think he'll probably have most of that on his plate. Not everything, though. You know, Bosa, likely, I think you'll see him move to other spots, and you'll also see the Jets give Fant some help at points, but that's my key matchup on offense. Now, on defense, I'm going to go with Bryce Hall against Keenan Allen, I guess you could say Bryce Hall against any Chargers receiver, and again, I think this is part of the evaluation process. With Desir gone, with Austin potentially hurt, it opens an opportunity for Bryce Hall to get some playing time, and I think that's a good thing. Jets, of course, drafted him in the fifth round this year, and he missed most of the first half of the season because of an injury he suffered in college, and that's part of the reason he fell to the fifth round. It's a big part of the reason he fell to the fifth round, because he just was not healthy enough to start the season. A guy who had enough ability, a lot of people believed, to potentially be maybe a day two draft pick, and a guy who, you know, a guy who's scheme limited, a guy who probably is going to have to play in his own system. But Bryce Hall is somebody who could put together, you know, he has the tools to put together a pretty solid career as a corner in the NFL, and I'm not expecting big things from him. I thought he struggled when he saw the field against New England. He's a rookie. I mean, he's a rookie who, coming off an injury, he was kind of, you know, he did not have a full training camp to prepare, although he's, you know, he had some time in practice to get ready. So, I am expecting some growing pains from Bryce Hall. And again, at this point of the year, with the Jets at 0-9, it's kind of okay if he has some struggles. But I think that this is a good thing for him, because it's a chance to get on the field, get some experience, get some, you know, see some live game action. For a lot of players, the biggest improvement comes between year one and year two. And I think that it's good that Hall's going to have these seven games to get under his belt. I just think it's going to help with his growth. And, you know, if he goes out there and plays really well, again, this is another guy where if he goes out there and impresses you, it says something. It says something good for the future of the Jets. If he's able to go out there this early in his career and have some success against Keenan Allen, I think it's a good thing. Now, if he doesn't, if he goes out there and struggles, I don't think it's the end of the world, because, again, there's time for him to grow, and he's been put into a tough spot. I think, you know, in an ideal world, this is not the kind of guy you want to depend on to go out there and play against the other team's best receiver. But I think for Bryce Hall, this could, you know, it's a kind of game where I could come away impressed and feeling really optimistic about the future if he plays well. And if he doesn't play well, I'm not going to be that upset. I'm just going to be happy that he's got the opportunity to go out there, get some game reps under his belt, and you hope he learns from whatever goes wrong. You hope he's able to put it behind him and take some lessons from it. Locked On Jets podcast previewing the Week 11 game between the Jets and the Los Angeles Chargers Sunday out in Los Angeles. And in this final segment, I'm going to offer a key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And on the offensive side of the ball, I'm just going to say, make sure Denzel Mims does not disappear from the game plan at halftime, because that's what's been happening. You know, Mims has put together a couple solid first halves in recent weeks since he's joined the lineup, and the Jets have just totally taken him out of the game plan after halftime. And you could say, well, maybe he's just not getting open, maybe he's not in the quarterback's progression, but I think he's the kind of guy you want to make sure is featured in the game. You want to make it a point to get him the ball. And the other thing is, this has now happened with two quarterbacks. You know, it's happened with Sam Darnold against Buffalo, and now, you know, the last time the Jets played, it happened with Joe Flacco against New England. So when the same thing's happening with multiple quarterbacks, it does make me wonder whether this is something that's planned, or whether it's, even if it's not planned, they're just not doing enough to try and feature him in the game plan. Again, Mims, another guy who's really important to the future for the Jets, a guy that they're looking to become an impact player. I just don't get why they've gone away from him at halftime. The offense has had success in the first half of these games, and then it's like they just forget about him. They forget he exists. So even if it's not a conscious thing, I want to make sure they continue to keep him involved in the game plan, because to the extent the Jets have had success on offense this year, and it's not been much, and it has not been much success, but the halves of football where Mims has been a featured part of the offense have been their most successful. So I think it's been a mistake that they've, if not gone away from him, at least not featured him, not made an effort to get him the ball, because this has been a much better offense when he's been involved in the passing game. It's been a big improvement. So, and again, I go back to the fact it's happened. You know, you could say, well, the quarterback's not making the right reads. It's happened with two quarterbacks. So that tells me there's something, that suggests to me it's something that could be scheme. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, this is a little tricky, and I'm going to say my key is finding the right balance, because you're playing against a rookie quarterback in Justin Herbert. So typically what you want to do against a rookie quarterback is really try and confuse him. Now, Herbert's actually been pretty good against the blitz this year. A lot of times, you know, a lot of the standard protocol against a rookie quarterback is test him, send lots of blitzes at him. Herbert's actually held up pretty well against blitzes. So I think, you know, the other thing you could do is try and confuse him with coverages post-snap. You know, you roll guys in different positions, you try and disguise things pre-snap, and then go into a different look post-snap. It's going to be a little trickier for the Jets to do that, because they're going to have a lot of inexperienced players in the secondary. Again, you're going to have Davis, you're going to have Bryce Hall, you could have another rookie or two in there. You know, Javelin Guidry could get some snaps in place of Brian Poole in the slot. Could Lamar Jackson be involved without Bless Austin in there? Corey Ballantyne, who was just recently added to the Jets, could be in the mix. He's not quite as inexperienced as the other guys. He's at least not a rookie. But when you have inexperienced guys in the secondary, or guys who are just learning the scheme, it makes things a little trickier, because they don't have the same level of experience as veteran guys do. So they may not be able to handle the same level of complexity in your defensive scheme, and you could have breakdowns, which means it's a much more difficult job for Greg Williams, because I don't think you want to go totally vanilla and make Justin Herbert's job easier. I think you always want to put stress on a rookie quarterback. At the same time, you don't want it to be so complex that your young defensive players get confused. So it's all about striking a balance. Now, what's the right balance? Well, if I knew that, maybe I'd be the Jets defensive coordinator. Maybe I'd be a coach in the NFL instead of doing this podcast. It's easy, you know, it's very easy for me to sit here and say, find the right balance. Very difficult to do, but it's also why Greg Williams has a job in this league. It's why he's been employed for a long time. It's, you know, I can't tell you what the balance is, but he should be able to figure it out. So I think I think it's important. You know, you want to put stress on Herbert, but you don't want it to be so much stress that it impacts the guys on your defense. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy our show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you have a good weekend, everybody. I hope you enjoy the game, and we'll be back on Monday to recap it.